Dear radio friends, I am glad to be back with you today. This is Reverend Matani, Eastern Home Missionary of the Protestant Reformed Churches, and it is my privilege to spend these several weeks with you to give our radio minister, Reverend Carl Haag, a little break. It's a joy for me to bring to you the Word of God, not only those of you here in Pittsburgh, but throughout where the Reformed Witness Hour goes to. Last week, we began a series where I indicated in introductory way that my purpose in these weeks is to show from the Scriptures the calling of the child of God to exercise himself in love for the stranger, love for the brother, and love for our children. I would like to show from the Scriptures that this threefold aspect of our love is grounded in, first of all, our love for God, and really ultimately God's love for us, even as we have been so greatly loved by God, and as we now in gratitude love God, He calls us to show that love to the stranger, to the brother, and to our children. I hope that parents who are out there will find good instruction in this, even as I, as a fellow parent, seek to raise up my children with my dear wife, Esther, our 8 covenant children. And in no way must this emphasis now in the next few weeks on the love for the stranger take away from the importance of covenant instruction and godly Christian parenting. But even as we seek to balance that, I would like today and in the next couple of weeks to show from Scripture the clear mandate that we have from God to love the stranger. The Word of God in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34 instructs us clearly. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I have decided to choose this passage of Scripture out of the Old Testament Scriptures to begin our study on the love of strangers, so that it will become abundantly clear that this has always been God's instruction for God's people. Isn't that striking? Even in the Old Testament, with all their Levitical laws and all their restrictions, they were told never to forget this love for strangers. In fact, I want to tell you right away that the Greek word hospitality in the New Testament is really the translation of two words that should be translated as love for strangers. That's what hospitality means, love for strangers. We are learning not only to exercise that hospitality one to another as brethren and to show love to our children, but today and in the next couple of weeks, we want to have in our minds this calling to show that kind of love to strangers. God calls His people to love the stranger, reminding them that they too were strangers. That's what we read out of Leviticus 13. Thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. What a wonderful incentive God gives to us, huh? To show that love to strangers. But who is the stranger? And how should we show love to the stranger? We like to consider those things together for a few moments today. We read in Leviticus 19, and if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. Verse 33 of Leviticus 19. The reference there is to foreigners, strangers, people who came from outside the commonwealth of Israel. They were not Jews. They were not part and parcel of the manifestation of God's beloved people in the Old Testament. They were from other nations, outcasts, Gentiles who were not born in the line of the covenant. How should Israel, according to God's good pleasure, treat these strangers? Should they walk with their noses stuck high in the sky and despise these unsafe ones sojourning among them? That was, you know, the temptation of the self-righteous among the people of God. They would say, "We are the people of God. Who are these strangers who have come into our midst?" And they would vex the stranger. And thus this instruction and warning in the word of God. If we apply that to ourselves today, then as we are in the midst of the Church of Jesus Christ and know one another as brothers and sisters, and perhaps also with our children and our families, then one day God, in His good providence, perhaps through our advertising or perhaps through certain invitation of somebody in our church, we find someone new, totally new, perhaps different kind of dressing even, different accent, different background, very clearly even not with the same convictions that we may have, perhaps from a different denomination, or perhaps even from a different religion. How are we called to treat such a one? And what if such a one then begins to come regularly and under the preaching of the word comes to repentance and faith and perhaps even joins the church? What is our calling? What is our attitude? Do we think, "Well, I better sit in the other side of the aisle. I better try to chart my time so that I do not have to make time to even shake that person's hands. Or perhaps if I do, well, it will just be a kind of a cordial thing, but I am not going to have to take my time to welcome such a one into my home, do I?" Well, hear the word of God. "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Notice how that's repeated, huh, in our text, emphasizing that such a one may come from without, he may be a stranger, but he has come to sojourn with you in God's providence. For though by and large God's covenant in the Old Testament was indeed with the Jews, there were already then exceptions, were there not? There were those among the nations, we know of them in the scriptures. There was, Ruth the Moabitess. There was Rahab the harlot. There were others who God in His own good providence brought into the kingdom of Israel. Mighty deeds they had heard, you know, about Jehovah. And somehow, by the working of the Holy Spirit, they were drawn to the people of God and confessed Jehovah. What were the people of God to do with them? How were they to treat them? Our text tells us that such a stranger should be treated as one born among you. They may have been naturally born outside the kingdom of God. They were foreigners. But now that they have come to dwell in your midst, you treat them as your own brethren. Yes, even as part of your own family. You welcome them. You make them feel at home. You treat them in love and compassion. You know, when I came from the island of Singapore in 1983 to the seminary, I was a Hindu convert. With my wife, who was a Buddhist convert, I being Indian, she being Chinese, came to reside, of all things, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, among Dutch people. And we had heard all kinds of stories, you know, that the Dutch people are very reserved and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, our experience was that we fell in love with these Dutch people. And until today, there's a place in our hearts for them. We love them dearly. And I tell you why. They didn't know us. They didn't know who we were. They had done mission work on the island of Singapore. But I mean, personally, we were strange to them. You know, we kept our shoes outside the house. We ate differently. We like hot, spicy food. We said their food was blah. They didn't like to hear that. But, you know, we had differences. But pretty soon we were in their homes. And they in our home. And we were able to share with one another the things that God had given to us, all because of that same faith, that same precious faith that had drawn us together. And I can testify that indeed, though we were quote-unquote strangers sojourning with them in those years at seminary, they didn't vex me. Or there were one or two who, I can say, maybe didn't like us very much, but that's all right. You have that with everyone, right? But by and large, they opened their homes and their hearts to us, and we dwelt with them as one born among them, and they loved us as they loved their own, and that was a great joy and great delight, and I owe much of my ministry and of my experience and instruction to the Protestant Reformed churches. And now I bring that same word to you over the Reformed Witness Hour. The Word of God here gives to us practical instruction as to how we must then love the stranger. Notice with me in our text that we are told negatively that we must not vex the stranger. You know what it means to vex? It means to treat cruelly, to irritate, to make life loathsome and uncomfortable. And how it grieves our hearts when we see our children doing that with one another, when they are not kind to each other and when they make life difficult for each other by, you know what I mean, you know, ugly words and actions that just does not gender peace and harmony in the home, but rather strife and all kinds of difficulties. Well, the Israelites knew exactly what it meant to vex someone. Their own souls, in fact, their bodies had been vexed in Egypt. You remember that? They were cruelly treated as bondmen in a foreign land, but God in His mercy delivered them and brought them to the promised land. Now that they had been delivered, they must not turn and vex the soul of strangers. They are warned in this Word of God and everywhere that they must remember and they must turn around and show that same mercy and compassion to strangers. Let us apply that to ourselves today. Do we vex newcomers? We who were in darkness ourselves, of sin and unbelief, whether we were plucked out of heathendom or even when we are brought up in the covenant and know that it is only of God's mercies that we who were dead in trespasses and sins have now been translated to the marvelous light of God. God who has so graciously established His covenant with us and with our children. Do we instruct our children in such a way that we must not vex the soul of strangers? We must not make life uncomfortable for a newcomer? Let's talk about that for a few moments. So you have a new person come to church. In the stead of giving a warm handshake, you kind of give a cold shrug, thinking, well, this is not that important. After all, there's 50 other people who can go ahead and show kindness to this one. But you know, even such a cold shoulder can, I'm not saying it should, but it can bring hurt. It can give a wrong impression to this newcomer. On the other hand, all it takes is a warm handshake and welcome, it's good to have you with us. That can go a long ways. God can use that kind of hospitality, that kind of friendliness to draw such a one back because he feels comfortable in the midst of our church. We must not vex. We must not make life difficult. We must not somehow make statements in our foolish gossip. You know that person, where is he from? And you know, and then start behaving in such a way as if this is such a strange and wrongful thing. We should rather be thankful to God and make it known so that we are saying to one another, and it's even in the hearing of the stranger, how thankful we can be that God has brought a visitor into our midst. Commend the person who brought such a visitor. How wonderful it is that our young people brought their friends to church today. That kind of spirit and attitude will indeed, I encourage you, be used by God to draw His people to Himself, because He mandates us to love the stranger even as we love ourselves, to treat such a one even as one born among you. And so we look at it positively now. We are told to love him as yourself. The immediate context, you know, in this passage in Leviticus 19, if you care to have your Bibles open, you will see that really what Moses is doing is giving to the Israelites various instructions concerning social life, concerning their calling to honor the neighbor and to walk honestly in business dealings. For example, in the last verses of this passage, we read in verse 35, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight or in measure, and so on and so forth. And since God's people, we are reminded there, were brought out of Egypt. Therefore, verse 37, ye shall observe my statutes and my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. And so, speaking to businessmen out there who are Christian, how wonderful when you deal with people, even in your business. They may be strangers to you, but here's your opportunity to show a godly witness by being honest, not only by being fair, being just. Well, look at verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. We ought not disrespect age. We ought not laugh at people who are older. We ought to show respect for authority. How wonderful will be our testimony to strangers when perhaps we meet with a policeman on the street, or perhaps we meet a soldier who has come back from Iraq. We don't know them. And we show respect and we say, thank you for fighting in Iraq on behalf of our country. Or say to the policeman, appreciate the work you do in defending our nation. I have done that, and I have found that that kind of attitude and conversation always leads to all kinds of opportunities to speak the gospel of peace. And that kind of calling I root and ground in this word of God. I've been told by others, that's your personality, you're outgoing, and I accept that. But I believe that it is rooted in this mandate that I must love the stranger. I must not only love my children and love my brethren, but I must love the stranger. I know all of us are different, not all of us are so outgoing, but I ask you to consider it and learn to do what the Word of God here commands us to do. We are told that we must love the stranger as one born even among us. That means that we treat such a one as our own family. There ought not to be a double standard here, where we love one another, we love our children, that when it comes to strangers, we are cold-hearted. We just give half. Or worse yet, we treat such a one with hatred and cruelty. Did not Jesus tell us clearly in Matthew 5, verses 46 through 48, that if you love them who love you, and you salute them who salute you, just your own brethren, then are you not like the publicans? The publicans know how to do that, one to another. But we must learn to love even those who are strangers, even those who are our enemies. For therein the world will know that we are the children of our Heavenly Father. Did He not love us while we were strangers? Did He not love us while we were unjust and cruel and unmerciful and sinners? He did. Well then, out of gratitude and love, we also ought to love the stranger. I like to close that way because the text does that. In fact, it has an anchor to our text when it tells us that for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. Very interesting in the Old Testament scriptures, and here in the book of Leviticus, particularly in Leviticus 19, you have this phrase, I am the Lord thy God. Keep the Sabbath day. I am the Lord thy God. Honor thy father, thy mother. I am the Lord thy God. Here too, love the stranger. Stranger, I am the Lord thy God. You see, we are to love the stranger because God commands us so to do. What does hospitality mean? It means showing love to strangers. Is hospitality an option? Absolutely not. Almighty God commands us to love the stranger as we love ourselves out of the love for God. If we have ever been tempted to shun the newcomer, or to be unwelcoming to a guest in church, or to turn the other way, the highways and byways of life, we must repent. We must learn to love the stranger because God so commands it. I am the Lord thy God. And the word Lord there is in the capital casing, L-O-R-D. Whenever you find it in the capital casing, remember that that is a reference to Jehovah. I point it out for a specific reason in the closing now of our message today. Because Jehovah is His covenant name, is it not? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who loves us and our children. It is Jehovah God, the covenant God, who commands us also to love the stranger. We must know that God establishes His covenant as He did with Abraham in the line of generations. But we must also know that the same Abraham was told that he will be the father of many nations. And now God is pleased in the New Testament especially to cause the gospel to go to the nations, and we must be willing to go to the nations. I am Eastern Home Missionary. I encourage the Protestant Reformed churches to do mission work. I am from Singapore. I love it when we see missionaries sent out to the Philippines and to Ghana and to Singapore and to India, the Lord willing, one day, Northern Ireland. But I do want to sound this word out to my own Protestant Reformed brethren and to all our radio listeners today. We have these nations on our backyard. They are right here. They are here because God has brought them in His amazing providence. They are here from all over the world, from all the different nations of the world. We can go and reach the Filipinos and the Africans and the Chinese and the Indians right in New York City and in Los Angeles and in Houston, Texas, and even in the Grand Rapids area. Let us love the stranger, bring to them the gospel, and show that attitude of kindness. And so to conclude today, not only because it is a command, beloved, but out of gratitude, our gracious Lord adds the incentive in our text, "For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Notice, ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. God has taken us out of the house of bondage. Therefore, with gratitude, knowing that by nature we are no different from the nations, by nature we too were enemies of God, by nature we too are sinners, we now, out of that gratitude and love, must show that love to the stranger. It's out of that gratitude that we must do mission work. No other reason. Out of that gratitude to God, because He has so loved us that we, with zeal and compassion, would go forth to bring the gospel to the nations, to reach the nations with that gospel of grace. God has loved His people with an everlasting and unconditional love. Of all people, God's people ought to be the ones who know how to love. Amen? God has shown His people His friendship in Jesus Christ. God's people ought to be the friendliest people on the face of this earth. Is that not true? Our hearts should know. Our hearts should know better. Having been strangers ourselves, then let us show that love to strangers. Do you, dear radio listener? Let us continue in the weeks to come to learn this important truth of God's Word as we contemplate on the mandate to love the stranger, to love the brethren, and to love our children. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that Thou hast given to us this privilege that we might together meditate on Thy Word. We thank Thee for Thy love for us, and we thank Thee that now Thou dost give us then the privilege to love one another and to also love the stranger. We pray that Thou will give us grace so to do, that we might walk humbly and mercifully. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.